The market is moving fast. And all of that speed puts you right in the middle of the action.
I feel the need for speed.
Trying to pick out the stocks, mutual funds, and ETFs that are your real targets from the ones that will make your portfolio crash and burn. Investment research firm New Constructs looks for the telltale signs in corporate filings that show which way a security will move next.
Warning! Warning!
Whether it is flying a true course or misleading the investment public about its prospects.
Son, your ego is writing checks your body can't cash.
New Constructs separates all securities into those that are attractive and the ones that are, well, dangerous.
Danger! Danger!
Every Monday on Money Life, company president David Trainer shoots down one security whose actions he thinks have it headed for trouble.
What you have done is wrong.
Whether you simply sell it or get aggressive and sell it short, you'll want to know which securities to have on your radar as Money Life enters.
That's right. We are heading for trouble. And then when we spot it, we're shooting it down, steering clear, and making sure that you understand how to avoid this kind of thing. We'll sift through the wreckage and make sure that you can spot danger when it's there. And truthfully, dangerous companies are those that typically look pretty good to you, but when you dig deeper, well, they're not. And New Constructs, they dig down to the deepest levels. They start at the grassroots in the footnotes of a company's statements and then work their way back up. They rate securities on a scale from most attractive to most dangerous. If you want to learn more about how it works, newconstructs.com or at New Constructs on Twitter. David Trainer is president of New Constructs. He joins us each week at this time. David, welcome back to the show.
Great to be back, Chuck. Thank you.
Who's in the danger zone this week?
CenturyLink.
Danger, danger.
Okay, CenturyLink is ticker symbol CTL. What's the problem here?
This is one of those kids doing his own thing. He's going to get left out of the party. You know, AT&T and Verizon are the two major or leaders in the incumbent local exchange carrier market. CTL is third, and they're trying to play catch-up, and it's just not working.
Where does that show up in the balance sheet? Somebody's going to hear that and go, okay, how much of this is just a business call, and how much of this is what you find in the footnotes?
Yeah, you know, I don't like to make business calls, Chuck, without seeing it backed up in the financials, and I think that's a big advantage as to what we do, and that we don't sort of make prognostications about businesses, good or bad, until we really see it manifest in the numbers. And part of the benefit of this additional diligence we do is that we see things manifest in the numbers before other people do, because we're looking at all the numbers. And companies have ways of hiding these things in their superficial numbers, like earnings statements. And so what shows up for us is a big decline in the company's returns on invested capital. That is, they're throwing a lot of capital in what they call their new strategic services segments, as they're trying to grow and compete with the offerings that AT&T and Verizon have, but those investments are not panning out with additional profits.
Where does that show up in the balance sheet? Where is that showing up in the numbers?
Well, it shows up in the return on invested capital metric, which is going to take into account all things on the balance sheet, but a lot of it's the debt. I mean, the debt load is really big for these guys. Their margins are also some of the lowest in the business when you adjust for unusual charges and things like that. For example, they talked about cost savings that they were expected to achieve in 2014. And yes, on the surface, it looks like they achieved those cost savings. But the only reason it looks like that is because the costs in 2013 were overstated by a huge unusual charge. You pull that out and you look at sort of the normal recurring costs. And actually, costs in 2014 are greater than they were, significantly greater than they were in 2013. So that's one way to look at it. The balance sheet's blowing up with a lot of assets in terms of acquisitions and capital in the strategic services, which is sort of your more modern stuff, broadband internet, data centers, some of their fiber services. You know, they're trying to kind of modernize the business, but they don't have the scale. They don't have the customers. They don't have the profits, but they got all the debt. And they've got all the valuation implying that they will achieve this kind of growth.
Well, let's talk about the valuation. What does the valuation imply in terms of growth?
$39 a share, 7% compounded annual growth for 12 years.
Not realistic in that kind of business.
No, especially when they've seen effectively zero growth over the last couple of years, and it's only getting tougher. I mean, let's face it, between DirecTV, AT&T, Verizon, I mean, these guys are chopping prices like crazy, right? You know, in our analysis on Netflix last week, we effectively pointed out you know, for Netflix to get to a price that's actually profitable for them, they're all of a sudden competing with DirecTV or Dish TV and Verizon, Xfinity, and all that. So it's like, this is a crowded field. It's tough. And without scale, without some kind of incremental competitive advantage, you know, you're in trouble.
Looking deep into the numbers allows you to recognize things early, but of course, then it requires the market to come up with a catalyst. In a case like this, is there a specific trigger or catalyst that you could even think about, or is it just someday somebody's going to wake up and smell the coffee?
Well, one of the reasons we think the company is so overvalued is because it's paying a pretty high dividend, 5.5% dividend yield, right? And they've done a pretty decent amount of share repurchases since 2013, about $3 billion. So we think that the company effectively is running out of cash to do that, because most of the dividend, share repurchases, and certainly all of the balance sheet expansion, trying to get into new businesses, is funded mostly by debt. By the way, the amount of debt is greater than their market cap. They also have a pension fund that's underfunded by $4.2 billion, and they have $3.6 million deferred tax liabilities. Big numbers. I'm sorry, $3.6 billion deferred tax liabilities. Big numbers here. You know, but those two things, the underfunded pension plan, deferred tax liabilities, come out to about 35% of the market cap. So they've got issues.
Yeah.
We think the catalyst is going to be they're going to either going to have to cut their dividend, cut their earnings forecast, or both. Because the cash flow effectively is being used up by these non-economic activities, whether it's a dividend, a repurchase of shares, or whether it's investments in businesses that aren't producing cash flows. It's an unsustainable process.
A fair price on this after this happens is?
$20 a share.
Just about cut in half. Not quite, because it's currently trading around $39 a share. It's CenturyLink, ticker symbol CTL, and it is in the danger zone. David Trainer, president of New Constructs, thanks as always for joining us on Money Life.
It's great to be with you, Chuck. Thank you.
Remember, if you want to learn more about what New Constructs does, well, follow them on Twitter at New Constructs, and you'll get links to the David's blog and much more. And go to newconstructs.com, and you can see their most attractive and most dangerous lists and much more. All right, we have a very busy Monday here. Up next, we're going to be looking at some survey results that actually spawned a column that I wrote today with David Ma from Openfolio. And then we'll do our second big interview. So stick around. We're living the money life, and we'll get back to it in just a moment.